Joshua chapter 7 this morning. Context of what we're going to be covering this morning requires us to read this whole story. So, beginning with verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-haven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us unto the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ around us and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up in the morning early, and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers. They ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from his fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Sin will burn you. Sin will cause great grief in your life. Whether you are saved or unsaved, sin is rotten. It stinks, and it takes you down, and it takes others down around you. The story that we just read has troubled many people, and it ought to, because the man who caused the trouble in this story, his name was Achan, and he was Achan, for sure. We might say he was Achan for a breakin', as many times Christians are. By the determination of their life, their heart, by the way they decide they're going to live in spite of what God's will is and what his plans are. People complain more about the aching that they might experience in life, much more than the aching that they cause the heart of God. Sin causes aching, there's no doubt about it. And the story begins, obviously, the first word in the seventh chapter is, but. If you read the last verse of the sixth chapter, it says, So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Everybody's talking about the victory they just had at Jericho. Hey, we just took Jericho down. Hey, everybody's having a great time, but. Which indicates something's going to change. Whenever you see that word, but, you know something's about ready to turn around. Oh, they're celebrating. The victory was awesome at Jericho, but. And this is something that is a problem because the story so far has been a success story. They crossed the Jordan River, the children of Israel did, moving into the promised land, or the spirit-filled life, we might say. They moved in there, and the first place, Gilgal, they dealt with the flesh. It was another, you know, good move on their part. And then they took the Passover, remembering the blood and remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. Hey, good move, guys. And then Jericho. Victory over a stronghold that was unprecedented in the land. A huge victory. A huge overcoming for the people, right? Success. And certainly we know that God wants us to live in constant victory, doesn't he? Doesn't he desire for us to just go from victory to victory? He does. However, listen carefully, folks. God does not, though, make it impossible for you to sin. But he does make it possible for you not to sin. It's possible for you not to sin, but it's not impossible for you to sin. God doesn't do that. He gives you still, to this day, the option, doesn't he? And Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, listen, don't think that the sin and the temptations that come at you are any different than any other person. You have temptations that are common to all men. But, he says, God, with that temptation, with that trial, with that issue that you're dealing with, God has also made what? A way of escape. There's a way out of it. So, it's possible for you to sin, you see. It's not an impossibility, obviously. But it is possible for you not to. And God here is making a profound point. And anybody, folks, listen, who is defeated, and it does happen, never has to be defeated. And this is something that causes us a great deal of concern about the Scriptures. You see, so often we start to take on the mentality that we have to be defeated. I don't have a choice in the matter. Yes, you do. And this story is about that. You have the ability not to be defeated in Christ. You don't have the ability not to be defeated in yourself. And this is going to be the issue. Of course, there's nothing but defeat on your own. But with Christ, all things are possible, aren't they? Everything can be gained. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But as Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Well, it's elementary, you say. That's basic Bible 101 stuff. True. Why do we need to hear it again? Because you forget. And I forget. You slip back into the mentality you ought not to. Because anyone pushing into the Spirit-filled life, and if that's where your heart's at today, that's where you desire to go deeper, into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Not more shallow, but deepening it. Going for it. Making yourself available to the Lord. To be used by the Lord, to glorify Him with your life. If that's your desire, then you need to understand that the attacks on your life, the problems coming at you are going to get more heated. Things aren't going to cool off. It's going to be hot sometimes. The attacks of the enemy are going to be pretty much in your face. Why? Well, because you've tread now on His territory. You've decided, you've made a commitment that you're going to go for it for Jesus. And that's going to make the enemy mad. It's going to make him angry. So, here's the thing. Defeats need not take place. But if they do, listen, if the defeats happen, it's extremely important that you understand why you were defeated. And to deal with it swiftly and decisively. Lest you be defeated again and again and again and again. And how many Christians are there in this world, in this country, in this state, in this city, in this church, that are defeated again and again and again and again? It's a life of defeat. Wait, didn't we go into the promised land? Yeah. But they're in the promised land in our story, aren't they? So it's important for us, as it was important for them, to know why the defeat is coming at me all the time. Why am I losing ground rather than gaining ground? Why am I being beaten back instead of overcoming? And they needed to learn this lesson. And today we talk about that, the reasons why we fail, why we're defeated, and what we can do about it. If you're in the midst of a struggle and you feel like you've been defeated in it again and again, listen carefully, folks. This is for you. This is for me. The victories are waiting for us. But there's several things I want you to take note of. Jot them down if you need to. Log them in. Think them through. Because there's basically three primary reasons in this story, and I find them to be true in my own life, three primary reasons why I'm defeated, why you're defeated, why they were defeated. First thing, number one, the first reason that defeat comes is self-confidence. If you notice in the story, Ai seemed to be quite insignificant. It was just a little teeny town. In fact, we understand historically, archaeologically, that Ai wasn't even a walled city. Jericho, remember, had those big, tall, thick walls that were fortified. Ai didn't even have any walls. It was like a village. And so it looked like it was really nothing. And you see, Joshua, because it seems so insignificant, Joshua doesn't even think twice about attacking it. He just sends the guys out. Go on up there, check it out, and let's see what it looks like up there. And the guys came back and said, hey, don't even bother sending a whole regiment of guys. Just send a few thousand guys up there. We'll take care of it. It's nothing. They're insignificant. It's no big deal. And so Joshua takes the counsel of these men that went up and checked it out. Now, mark this well, folks. They had just had a huge victory. Jericho, an amazing stronghold, had just fallen. And they were still riding high on their victory. And I need you to mark this in your thinking and really, truly think this in, because this is vital to you. Because I want you to know this. There's nothing like a victory to put you in danger of defeat. What? I thought we were supposed to be victorious. You are. But listen carefully. As soon as you have a victory spiritually in your life, a stronghold falls like a Jericho, some big thing happens. You know, I've been delivered from this thing. It's been plaguing me for years. Awesome. I've been delivered. That was great. Wow. Power of God, you know. That's good. That's excellent. But listen carefully. You are on dangerous ground at that point. How come? I just lost a tendency or an addiction or some problem I had. I'm free from it. Why would I be on dangerous ground? Because self-confidence might just set in, like it did with Joshua. And guys, I got to tell you, if it happened to Joshua, it can happen to you. You and me, we have this tendency, because we can start to think that God somehow has transferred his power to me. Like now I have it. And now I can just take care of business. Wrong. You got nothing. I got nothing. And this shows me something so powerful that it just kind of stuns me. I sit back on my haunches a bit and go, whoa, wait a minute. I just experienced a huge victory, true. But my tendency can be like Joshua's, and that is I just start moving because somehow now I got the power. Well, you've been telling us the Lord's got the power for you. True. But you don't got the power. I don't got the power. You know, we can't say, I got the power. You know, can't do that. I don't got the power. You don't got the power. But self-confidence means I got the power and I'm going to move out. And what will happen is something so puny, so insignificant, some little teeny sin, some little teeny temptation will knock you out. You know this is true. The littlest thing can blow you away, can defeat you soundly when you think you're something. When you think you've got it together, you see. And I'll tell you something. The teeniest thing in the spiritual realm, folks, listen, the littlest AI that you could possibly imagine is too powerful for you. Too strong for you. Lest you forget that, lest they forgot it, God allowed this defeat to take place, folks. He allowed it to happen, lest they think, hey, we got the power. No. God's got the power. And if you don't stay connected to him, you got nothing. And the littlest, teeniest tendency, the littlest sin, the littlest temptation that comes at you will just defeat you so soundly, sends you running away with your tail between your legs, whining. Your strength turns to water like theirs did. They just melted. Now, amazing. Something else here. The victory they experienced at Jericho was awesome. Big. Significant. And it was a viable victory. But it was yesterday's victory. That happened yesterday. And let me tell you something about victories. The victory you won yesterday will not bring you victory today. Did you notice that in the whole context of the children of Israel's history, they never marched around another wall again? They never did that same thing that they did at Jericho, where they marched and blew the horns and shouted. Why? Because God didn't tell them to do that again. It wasn't to be done again that way. The next victory would be done differently. And the point is, folks, is that if you think that somehow you've got power, listen, power today for the victories of this day because you had a victory last week or last month or last year, you may be, like these guys were, sorely mistaken. And some little teeny thing's going to whip up on you because you can't have victory today with what was provided for you yesterday. Why would God make that such an important thing? Because, once again, we will forget that it's He that is able, not me. If I start looking at the past victories, I start thinking, alrighty, that's how it's done. I'm just going to go into this situation and knock it out. And what happens? You get beaten back. You get defeated. You fail. And it's hard. It's tough. The point is, folks, is that victories are not to make us more independent. They are to make us more dependent. We are to realize from victory to victory that we are totally dependent on the Lord, not independent of Him. And the problem is big victories in people's lives, and I've seen this over and over, not only in other people, in myself, that I get deliverance. I have a victory over some huge thing, like a Jericho, like we talked about last week. Some big thing just gets knocked down. Awesome, that's great. And then something really strange happens. I quit feeling so dependent on God. And I start getting a little arrogant. Like Satan better watch out for me. Like he's going to have to face me now. And he's got a problem with me, see. Because I'm bad. That's right. I'm bad, see. Don't mess with me, Satan. And then AI shows up, some little stupid thing, and knocks me back on my seat, and I sit there and go, what happened? And Satan laughs at you in that mode because he knows. Listen, folks, he knows you, me, us, on our own. We've got nothing. God is able, and it's important that I remember that. That is why, you see, the first thing, self-confidence, is a vital enemy of mine and yours. You cannot become self-confident. You've got to be confident in God's ability and power, not your own, ever. Well, don't we grow out of that? No. You don't grow more independent from God. You grow more dependent. Finally, one day, we'll be like Jesus said we need to be, and that is, we will be like little teeny children. Jesus said, listen, don't hinder these little ones from coming to me. This is what the kingdom's made of. Made of what? Babies. Babies. Yeah, you know, goo goo gaga. You know, drooling. Can't do a thing for themselves. You got to hold them. They just sit on your lap and touch your face. And that's what we're to be like with the Lord. Totally dependent. Helpless. That if He didn't pick us up and carry us around and hold us, we wouldn't go anywhere. We wouldn't do anything but make a mess and scream and cry a lot. Say, well, I'm there. I'm like a little baby then. Yeah, well, babies have a lot of tendencies. The kind of tendency he's talking about is dependence. Being totally dependent on him. That's the idea. Jesus said, unless you have faith like this little teeny child who can't do anything for himself and knows that without his father picking him up and holding him in his strong arms and doing things for him, he will be utterly lost, hopeless, helpless. Someday we might realize that. That's the breaker. That's the thing that will crush the self-confidence, you see, which I don't belong having in my life. I am not self-confident. You know, people have asked me before, so when you come teach, aren't you, you know, kind of nervous, scared? I mean, boy, you must be really self-confident. Mm-mm. I have no confidence in myself. If God doesn't show up every single time, then we're lost. We're doomed. We're toast. We might as well go home. You see, my confidence isn't in me. My confidence is in the Lord. His word will declare what needs to be said. I'm confident in that. Our Lord is faithful. I'm confident in that. Me, I just show up like the rest of you. Here we are. What do you want to do, Lord? What do you want to say? My dependence is upon him, his spirit, not on something that I have within me. Me, I got nothing. And you know that. Many of you have come to me and talked to me. You know, I got nothing. Lord's got it all. He has everything. You see, we're not to put confidence in men. We're not to place any expectations on man. Man fails. Man drops the ball. Man doesn't come through. God always does. My faith, my confidence is in God. My trust is in him. That's where you're to place it, always. And the more you know him, the more you're to do that, not the less. And guys, listen, if you're disappointed, if you're bummed out about what somebody has done or somebody said or somebody came and did this or did the other, listen carefully. If you're bummed out and it raises issues in your life and you can't get over them, then your faith's in the wrong place. Your faith is in that person or those people or whoever it might be, and it doesn't belong there. Get that faith off of them and get it on the Lord. He never disappoints. He never has a problem like people do. And so often, churches need to get off of it, you see. Get off each other and get on the Lord. You know, start putting your faith in God. Quit putting your faith in people. I don't care who it is, whether it's pastors or people that you think should know better or whatever, forget about it. If you try and get people to come through for you, you're going to be miserable, rotten. Your life's going to stink. So, enough said. So, secondly, not only is self-confidence going to cause you to be defeated, but number two, neglect of prayer will cause you to be defeated. Notice, Joshua was so self-confident in the Jericho experience. Hey, we just took on Jericho, man. Hey, just go take care of Ai, will you? Whoa, Joshua. You forgot one little thing, didn't you? Notice there in the beginning of the chapter, Joshua didn't even consult the Lord. He just told those guys to go take care of it. He forgets to pray. He neglected prayer. Huh. And guys, I'll tell you something. He didn't realize what was going on in the camp, did he? He didn't know about Achan yet. You know why? Because he didn't pray. Prayer, listen carefully. Don't forget this. Prayer makes you insensitive to sin if you neglect it. If you don't put yourself in a posture of prayer continuously, you will become insensitive to the sin in your own life and to the sin around you. You won't be sensitive to it. You won't realize it's going on. In other words, it's much easier, isn't it, to be blinded, to be distracted when you don't pray. And defeat will follow very quickly. I know. And I realize this is the most neglected part of the Christian walk. Prayer. People don't pray. Let's have a prayer meeting tonight. Let's see who shows up. Oh, about 10 people will come. Why? Well, it's just a prayer meeting. Is there going to be food? Everybody shows up for food. But how about let's just sit down and pray for a couple hours? Isn't there something else we got to do? Do you know why that's the case? Because prayer is the most powerful weapon in the arsenal of Christians. Satan knows it, and he wants you to be convinced that it's boring. It's got nothing, you know, really exciting in it. It's really just the drudgery of being a Christian. You know, what do we got to do? Pray. Pray. Can we worship? Worship's good. Go ahead. Teach the word if you want, but don't ask us to pray. Please, don't ask me to pray. Well, I would say this. Don't ask me to help you be victorious. People say, well, I just want to be victorious in this. I want to have victory. I'm tired of being defeated. Then pray. Ugh. No, can't do that. Isn't there another way? Is there something else I can do? Can I do 50 push-ups? Can I stand on my head, you know? Tell me something, anything. Don't tell me to pray. No, pray. You got to pray. Let's pray. You know. It's amazing. But the neglect of prayer, folks, is why people are defeated. Failures and defeats come because people won't pray. And it makes you insensitive to sin. And listen, had Joshua sought the Lord, he would have heard from the Lord that there was sin in the camp. Saved 36 men's lives if he had done that. How many lives could we save if we'd stop and pray first? How many wounds could we keep ourselves from inflicting or others if we prayed first? How much damage could we prevent if we would pray before we moved and acted? I don't know. It's a good question for us, isn't it? I know we all tend to pray most earnestly when things are trying. It's the normal thing. You're not abnormal if that's what you do. And it is, I know. When things get hard, people start praying. Yeah, I don't have to ask people to pray when things are really tough. They'll do it. They'll say, I've been praying all the time, nonstop, constantly. Lord, help me, help me, help me. See, but in this story, I want you to understand something. I know that when things get really out of hand, you'll pray. The problem is when things are going well and you've been victorious, that is when the prayer is neglected. And that's the most important time for you to pray. Why? Because that's when you're vulnerable. And that's exactly when you don't feel like you should pray. I don't need to pray. I'm rocking and rolling over this stuff. You know, Jericho's are falling. I'm doing great. I don't need to stop and pray. I only have to pray when things are bad, right? Wrong. And the reason the next defeat might come after a big victory is because you forgot to pray in the victory. You see, that victory just happened and you need to be on your knees, folks, you see, because victory ought to bring a humiliation of heart, not pride and arrogance. I ought to be humbled by the victory that the Lord works in my life. I ought to look at that Jericho and say, oh, Lord, thank you. And I will be before you and on my knees now asking you for victory again. Making sure that I don't step out of line here thinking that somehow I have something to do with that. I'm humbled before you, Lord, for taking and being victorious for me. If you don't do that, you will certainly be defeated by some little insignificant thing. And almost always immediately following a big, victorious overcoming of something in your life. Happens all the time. I see it. See it in myself, see it in others. So, self-confidence brings defeat. Lack of prayer causes you to be defeated. Thirdly, number three, disobedience causes defeat. Achan, this guy who was among the children of Israel, it says, took the accursed thing, or perhaps more accurately, the devoted thing. Not necessarily accursed because it was a bad thing, obviously, in and of itself. Clothing, gold and silver, they're not bad in and of themselves. But they can be the root, can't they, if they're loved too much. The love of money, the love of those things is the root of all evil. It's what he felt about those things compared to what he felt about the Lord. The Lord said, don't touch the accursed thing. Remember when they took Jericho. Remember the victory. God said, listen, when you take the victory, the spoils, those things that you think are to be taken like normal victories aren't to be. They're to be brought into the treasury of the Lord. In other words, they're accursed to you. They're devoted to me. They're mine, God said, and I don't want you to touch them. Achan made his mistake because he thought, he changed that, he assumed he could just shift that around, and he does call them the spoils. They weren't the spoils. Spoils are to be taken in war. Devoted things are to be given, not taken. He was supposed to give all those things he found in Jericho to the Lord, but he didn't. You see, those things were separated unto God. And listen, folks, his disobedience, his lack of paying attention to what God had instructed him to do affected the whole congregation of Israel. And this is something that really, I believe, needs to be taken in and chewed on, because it's true with us as well. The disobedience of part of the body, even if it's one part, causes there to be defeat in the whole congregation. And this is really tough to take. And this is going to take you, listen, it's going to take you out of that complacent spot, hopefully, that you might try and slip into, or you might try and feel comfortable in. And hopefully, prayerfully, it's going to cause you never to be able to sit in that posture again. Well, what I do doesn't affect anybody else. Oh, yes, it does. It affects, in fact, as we see here, the whole congregation. I don't like this, frankly. I don't like what it means. What you're saying then is we never sin alone. Nope. You never sin alone. Your sin constantly affects others around you. If we really took this to heart, this would really change things, I think. You might pray more for people if you realize this is true. If you realize that that person's sin, that person's hardship, that person's problem, that issue that they're going through, that problem that they are facing, if you realized that all the things that are going on in people's lives have an effect on you, you just might pray for them more. You might lift them up, encourage them in prayer, do battle for them in prayer. If you realize that it has a direct effect on your life. So, self-confidence, lack of prayer, and disobedience to what God says will all cause you to be defeated. And will cause, listen, defeat in the whole congregation. And all of a sudden you start thinking, No wonder there's so much defeat in the church. Nobody's taking any responsibility. This is just something that is going on, or this is something that the Lord's not coming through on, or, hey, I can't seem to even whip the smallest little tendency. Do you know why? Listen, folks. The church, the people in the church, we don't have any power to overcome. We don't have it. God has it. It's His power, not yours, not mine. And when I get self-confident, when I quit praying, and when I decide that I can disobey God and just do what I feel like and nobody else is going to be affected by it, there's defeat not only in my life personally, but there's defeat in this whole church. The defeat comes upon all of us. So, are you going to leave us there? Are we just going to leave defeated? Are we going to leave feeling like this? Because I feel kind of bummed now. I feel kind of rotten. My sin's affecting everybody. True. What's the answer? Well, let's look. Look at verse 19. Joshua says unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord, your God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." The way that you break that cycle of defeat in your life is with broken confession. It's the only thing that will break it. The only thing that breaks the cycle of defeat is when my heart is broken over sin. It's the only thing that does it. I can't expect, listen folks, I can't expect there to be victory when I purpose in my heart that I will be disobedient, that I won't pray, that I'll just be self-confident. I'll try and do this on my own. Thanks anyway, Lord, but I'll manage to do this. I know I'll do harder work. I'll try more things. I'll deal with this somehow. Is God obligated to give you victory if that's the condition of your heart? No. Quit thinking that He's obligated to give you victory when you won't deal with Him the way He wants you to deal with Him. That is, be obedient. Pray to Him all the time. And don't ever think that you're confident in yourself to overcome sin or any tendency that you've got. It's a disaster waiting to happen if that's where you're at. And God's not obligated to give you victory in anything. He shows that here, isn't He? Gave him Jericho, wouldn't give him Ai. How embarrassing that was for them. They had this huge victory, you know. And then this little teeny problem just defeats them soundly. That must have been hard to take. But notice too in verse 21, I want you to see this because this is the key to where you might be dealing with in sin. Verse 21, Achan continues and says, "When I saw the spoils," notice he calls them spoils instead of devoted things to the Lord. "I saw the spoils," in other words, he's changed that now to things I can take. "When I saw the spoils, the goodly Babylonian garment and the 200 shekels of silver and the wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight," watch this, "he saw them," it says, "when I saw them, then I coveted them. And I took them." I took them. After I coveted them. After I saw them. Do you know that that is the whole process? That is the culmination from beginning to end, from temptation to full-blown sin. It's what 1 John 2:16 says. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I saw it, I coveted it, I took it. Whatever sin, whatever thing that defeats you, that is the process. I see it, I want it, I take it. I see it, I want to do it, therefore I do it. It's that process over and over again, you see. And I'll tell you something. It will take you down every time. But wait, you say, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. They stoned him and his family, Achan. And he really was Achan. And they burned his family and they took all his stuff and burned it. But he confessed. Is that how God deals with somebody who confesses? You mean if I go ahead and confess my sin, is God going to have me drug out and stoned and burned? No. But I'll tell you something. The wages of sin is death. And this story shows something very, very important. When someone sins, listen, when someone sins, someone has to die. If you notice at the beginning of our story, the whole nation of Israel was condemned by this sin. The whole nation. Again, you can't sin alone. It affects everybody. The whole nation was condemned because one man sinned in this way. But I want you to notice something. At the end of the story, yeah, Achan, he's taken out and dealt with severely. God's making a strict point about how he feels about sin. Did he do this again? No. This is the only time that this happened in this way, because God was making a point. And he does that oftentimes when he's trying to make a point. He doesn't do it again, but the point's sure taken to heart, isn't it? But the point is, someone has to die for sin. And in regards to that, Achan was put to death, but it freed, listen, it freed the whole nation from the penalty, didn't it? Look at the end of the chapter, verse 26. After they raised a great heap of stones unto him, the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. In a wonderful way, Achan, even though he was a sinner and really flew in the face of what God wanted him to do, he was used in a most powerful way to picture our Savior. Because for the sin, someone has to die. Of course, our Savior died and turned the fierce anger of God away from the rest of us. Right? So, no, you're not going to be dragged out and stoned and burned because of your confession to sin. In fact, John says there in 1 John that if we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all our iniquities. We're not going to be stoned and burned because of it. But listen, there's another point here that's important, and that is there are consequences to sin. Even if there's forgiveness provided, you're still going to pay a price for sinning. You know this is true. You've experienced it, I'm sure. I have. You know, a guy's forgiven for sin, but he decides he's just going to go party it up a bit and then takes his car out and wraps it around a telephone pole. Is he forgiven? Sure. Is his car wrecked? Yep. Is his head bashed in? Yep. Is he going to heaven? Yeah. But he might go through life looking a little different because of his sin. The consequences of sin do not disappear just because the forgiveness and cleansing does. You'll still pay a price for it. That's part of the lesson here. You can't escape it. And by the way, this guy's whole family was affected, wasn't it? It wasn't just him. And men, don't forget this. You're to lead your families. Godly living is to be the order of your household. And if it's not, your whole family is going to pay the price. The whole family pays. It's the tragedy of our nation in a great sense. Men, dads, don't take any responsibility to lead their families in godly living, leading them spiritually. And families are burned all the time because of it. You never sin alone. It's not about what you want in life. It's about what God wants. And if you don't understand that, then there's defeat. There's hardship. And your family is going to suffer along with you, you see. It's time, you see, guys. It's time, men, to say, that's enough. Enough of that. Enough of this. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. And as for me and my house, that's the way it's going to be. Period. No more families getting burned. No more problems. No more getting stoned. Getting burned. Done with it, you see. When it comes, folks, to spiritual defeat, verse 13 is profound as far as I'm concerned. After God tells Joshua to get the people up and sanctify them, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Set yourselves apart now for tomorrow. Do you want victory tomorrow? Then sanctify yourself today. Don't wait till tomorrow and say, oh yeah, that's right, we're supposed to get sanctified before we do anything. Do it today so that tomorrow you don't deal with the same thing you're dealing with today. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, listen very carefully, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, and listen, you cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. You, listen, you are not going to experience victory in that area, whatever it might be, until you take the accursed thing away. In other words, what is it that the Lord should be given? Meaning, it could be tendencies, sins, it could be problems, it could be struggles, it could be attitudes, it could be whatever. What is it that was devoted to God? In other words, that if you keep it, it's accursed. If it's His, it turns into devotion. What have you not given to the Lord that belongs to Him? Because He says here, if you are hanging on to that thing, you're never going to have victory. You're going to be defeated. You'll never stand up against the enemy if you're hanging on to the accursed thing. It's got to be rid from your life before victory is going to come. And I'll tell you, so many people are dealing with this issue. There's things, there's stuff they've buried in their tents, like Achan did. He ran back to his tent and dug a hole in the tent on the floor and stuffed all this stuff in the earth. There was things in the world, in the earth, that he had buried in his tent. What is it in your tent, in your home, that's buried in the world? It's worldly, that's stuff, language that's used, movies that are watched, whatever it might be. We all have worldly stuff in our homes that are buried therein. And we want victory? When we know what they are? If you don't know what they are, pray. The Lord will show you. He'll reveal them to you. This isn't legalism, folks. This is victory. This is the way to stop being defeated in life. Well, I just wanted a nice little Sunday morning message. You know better than that. I just have a question. Do we want victory? Do we want to continue to be defeated or not? If we don't want to be defeated anymore, this is the way. God spells it out very clearly. We are given an opportunity here to live in victory continuously, you see. And maybe you're just plain old defeated today. You can't stand and face the enemy when you're hanging on to accursed things. Bitterness, maybe. Anger. Selfishness. Self-centeredness, pornography, whatever it is, you're not going to be able to stand up to the enemy with that stuff present, ever present in your life. Well, are you saying that I can just get rid of the accursed thing. That's what God says. He says, you get rid of the accursed thing, and I'll give you victory. So that means I can get rid of the accursed thing? Absolutely. How? Confess it. Just like we talked about. Confess your sins before the Lord. He's faithful to forgive them and cleanse you from it all. Well, I did confess it once. Confess it again. Confess it again and again and again. As much as you are doing it, confess it. Because if you don't, you'll never have victory over it. Because you're hanging on to it. You see, confessing is agreeing with God that this is putrid in my life. It's and being in agreement with Him. It's not just saying, oh yeah, I did it. It's saying, this is putrid, Lord. I confess that. I agree with you. I really do. I agree. This is wrong. It's rotten. It stinks. Please remove it. And if you have to do it again and again and again, then do so. He is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, you see. If you're hiding something worldly, earthly, in your tent, let the servants, like in our story, go grab it and bring it before Joshua. Bring it before Jesus. I'll get burned. It's holy fire. It's holy fire. Holy fire. Burn away. You see, all that stuff that's in me. Things that aren't of you, Lord, but that are of me. Holy fire. Burn those things away. We sing it. You see, we sing it. You need to let Him do it. Bring those things out before our greater than Joshua, and let Him deal with them, you see. Did you ever think, folks, did you ever possibly think that the things you're hiding in your tent, the things that you're dealing with that you won't let the Lord have, did you ever think the sin in your life, the condition of your heart, did you ever think that it's bringing defeat to this church? Yours. Mine. It's personal. It's not vague. It's not general. It's your sin. It's my sin. It's my unwillingness to let go of that thing, to let that happen the way the Lord wants it to confess it again and again until I'm rid of it. What are you saying? Should we leave the church until we're done with that? I don't know. What is the church? And how powerful is it? And how powerful could it be? If people come to church because they're playing some game, they have no intention of serving God. They're just here playing some game with God, saying, yeah, I'm here, you know, but I have no intention in my heart of ever letting go of this, that, or the other thing. Maybe it's time. Get out. Quit it. Stop playing games with God and get right with Him. It's not about this game you're playing. It's not about saying, I'm here and you better do something for me and I'm going to, hey, take a hike. This is about you submitting your heart and life to Jesus Christ. If that's not why you're here, then go somewhere else. We're about Him. We're about what He wants, not what we want. We're about letting Him have our life, not about something that we think we should get or should have or somebody should do something for us, you see. Bunk. Baloney. This is reality. Well, you might lose people that way. Maybe. Did you think that your sin might be slowing the rest of us down? Did I think my sin might be causing defeat in this church? I'm praying we take it personal. Well, you're getting there. I'm sick of defeat. Are you? I'm tired of it. I want victory day after day. I don't want defeat day after day. It's not the way to live in the promised land, but in the promised land, this is where this is happening, and it's a tendency that'll happen to you and me if we're not careful. We're all connected. Paul says, when one sorrows, we all sorrow. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one sins, we all pay. We all get defeated when one's defeated. Our secret sins are causing problems. Confess them today, see. Confess them, because like the Lord said, you can't stand against the enemy. You can't stand against him if you got the accursed thing. You won't let go of it. Make confession today, will you? And do it again tomorrow if you need to. And do it again next week. Take this personal. Take this to heart. This is my church. Say that in your own heart. It's my life that affects this body. It's my sin that causes others to suffer. It's my unwillingness to let go of that and to not keep holding on to the other. It's my worldly attitude in my home that's causing defeat in this church. Lord, I confess that. Forgive me. Cleanse us. Wash us. Free us. That we might have victory and not defeat.